Today we're talking about how to overcome recurring, unwanted negative emotions like chronic sadness, self-esteem issues, anxiety, etc., through simple, practical exercises that take a look at your recurring thoughts. Hey everybody, this is Victoria Spadaccini. I am a certified life coach, artist, psychology nerd, and host of Your Extraordinary Existence. Now, the point of this is to really master your emotions in the moment as they're happening, and also to help you learn more about your brain so that you can optimize it to have a happier, healthier life. And if you're somebody who's experiencing depression, first of all, I totally relate. I've experienced depression a large part of my youth and adult life. And the great news is that you're not bound to feel depressed forever. You actually have the power to change your brain and heal yourself. And while there are definitely biological and genetic factors that cause depression, there is also another root cause: distorted thinking. The way your brain works is as follows. In the world, you will experience a variety of good, bad, and neutral events. You then process those events by creating an internal dialogue about them and interpreting what they mean to you. This internal dialogue creates your mood, your emotions, how you feel about it, how you feel about yourself, the world, etc. And that mood determines how you show up in life and behave. So ultimately, it is not the event that determines your mood and your life trajectory. It is simply your interpretation of the event that does. I like to think about a much simpler version of this, which is SpongeBob and Squidward. They both work at the same job at the Krabby Patty, flipping the same burgers with the same Mr. Krabs boss. But Squidward is always cranky, says he hates his life, while SpongeBob always shows up saying, "I'm ready," and exclaims it's the best day ever. Every day. Same job, different mindsets. So what's the difference between distorted thinking and rational thinking? Distorted thinking is an illogical, unrealistic, and often totally just wrong interpretation of an event. Rational thinking is a logical, realistic interpretation of the event. So to help you understand this further, I'm going to break down the 10 types of cognitive distortions you might have, give examples, and then go through the exercises to show how we can shift them from distorted thinking to rational thinking, which will ultimately improve your life. Cognitive distortion number one, jumping to conclusions. When you jump to conclusions, you are making the silent assumption that someone is reacting negatively to you, or you just anticipate that things are going to be bad, even though there are no actual facts to support your conclusions, because you think you are a mind reader. So for example, you have plans to see a friend you haven't seen in a long time, and 10 minutes before you're supposed to meet, she cancels. Your distorted thought is, she's blowing me off because she probably doesn't want to see me. I must have done something to upset her. She probably doesn't like me. No one wants to hang out with me. Everyone thinks I'm a loser. So here's the exercise that you can utilize. On a piece of paper, make two columns. On the left side is the automatic thought, which is the thought that you had about why she canceled and what it means about you. And on the right, you write rational thought. So at this point, you take a look at the event and you ask yourself, what else could be happening here? What is a more realistic, logical possibility about this event? So an example would be, well, sometimes things happen and people need to cancel unexpectedly. It doesn't mean anything about how worthwhile I am. Actually, sometimes I change my plans last minute and it has nothing to do with the person that I'm seeing. It's really more about something that's going on in my own life. See how that could help you feel better and see more clearly? You went from punishing yourself to considering that your automatic thought might not be factual. And you even gained empathy for yourself and for her. Bingo. Cognitive distortion number two, disqualifying the positive. When you disqualify the positive, you're essentially telling yourself that any positive experiences that had happened to you don't count. You just reject them for whatever reason, and you continue to maintain a negative belief system even though there are positive things happening in your everyday life and positive things that have happened for you in the past and will happen for you in the future. So here's an example. You're in a relationship with somebody that you really like, and out of nowhere, they break up with you. This is something you didn't want, and this person in your mind is the only person, the only reason that you're happy. And you conclude erroneously that you'll never be happy again because this was the only reason in your life you were happy. And then you go on to limit yourself to experiences that will keep you feeling miserable. So the same exercise as before, but with one more addition. Automatic thought on the left, in the middle, rational thought, aka what else could be happening here? Why might my automatic thought be false? And then the third column, positive experiences. And in that column, you want to list 5 to 10 positive experiences that you did not acknowledge or you refused to acknowledge. So in this particular instance, you were broken up with. Sucks, maybe, but your happiness does not depend on this person because you've seen there's evidence in the past that you've existed for years and years without this person in the past, and you've had fun, exciting times. You've laughed, you've smiled, you've made friends, you've enjoyed life. And so what you'll learn is that you're absolutely capable of being happy because you've been happy before. And maybe there have even been positive experiences that have happened even today that you just didn't acknowledge yet. Maybe you heard a joke and you thought it was funny and you laughed. Something as small as that, those things count. These are indications that life is still good, that you can be happy, that there are possibilities there. Instead of minimizing those, acknowledge them. You're super capable. And the more that you believe that and remember that, the more that you will continue to confirm that thinking and create a self-fulfilling prophecy of happiness. Cognitive distortion number 3. All or nothing thinking. When you engage in all or nothing thinking, you see things as extreme. Black and white, good and bad, failure, winner, etc. So here's an example. You've decided to change your eating by cutting out processed foods. One night, you decide to eat a bag of chips, and then you tell yourself, man, I can't get anything right. I'm such a fuck up. And then you proceed to eat all the chips in your closet because you feel like you're going to fail anyway. So the exercise here, I'll call this one advocating for yourself, the advocating for yourself exercise. So again, make 2 columns, but on the left, label it self-deprecation, and on the right, label it self-endorsement. So what's the self-deprecating thought here? I fail at everything I try. So you write that down under self-deprecation. On the right, what is another possibility? Again, rational thinking, self-endorsement. Here's a possible answer. The fact is that you're trying because you care about yourself and you love yourself and you want to be healthy. You may not be perfect, but no one is, and you are still improving. So for this one event that you're experiencing, you might have dozens of thoughts. So your next thought might be, yeah, I'm improving, but I haven't made progress like those other people. Because you have a tendency to contradict yourself and default to being mean to yourself. So, yeah, I'm improving, but I haven't made progress like those other people. So the next self-endorsing thought could be, I'm already a heck of a lot healthier than I was when I was mindlessly consuming unhealthy foods. I deserve credit for this. And the key is to just keep writing down your thoughts, your self-deprecating thoughts, and then your self-endorsing thoughts until you have none left. I'm sure if your friend was saying to you, I'm a total failure, you wouldn't respond with, yeah, that's true. You really can't get anything right. If you're a good friend, you would encourage that person. And so treat yourself like that friend. You deserve the same love and support. And realistically, you are the only one who will be in your corner and be living your life completely. Cognitive distortion number 4, should statements. When you engage in should statements, you create thoughts in your mind with the words have to and should. which is how you motivate either yourself or others to do things. Now, on the part about motivating others to do things, for example, telling a kid they should study or they should get better grades, the short response to that is that motivating people through force has never been an effective long-term strategy to get anyone to do anything. People will do what they want on their own accord, whether or not they agree with you. And telling people they should do something often creates resentment or rebellion. The only way people actually take action is if it feels like it's their own idea. Now, on the part where you say to yourself that you should do something, for example, you're a chronic people pleaser, so you've adopted the belief that you should make sure you do what makes people happy. Now, here's a new exercise. It's a cost-benefit analysis, which I'm sure you've done for other things before, but let's apply it to your thoughts. So, what is believing this, believing that you should make sure other people are happy, what is this costing you, and how is it benefiting you? Of course, it's doing both. So again, two columns, the left side is labeled pros and the right side is labeled cons. So pros of making people happy. You might write something, for example, like, well, the pro of continuing to make people happy is that people will still like me and I won't be at risk of rejection. Okay, what is it costing you? What are the cons in the next column? Well, I'm sacrificing doing things the way that I want to. And I'm getting aggravated because I don't feel like I have the freedom to be myself, etc. So you can write as many pros and cons as you want. And what this does is that it creates awareness of whether or not this belief system is working for you. It makes things much clearer. And if it's not, it's time to consider a new perspective that's more beneficial for you. Now, there are several more types of cognitive distortions, and there are so many more exercises that I'll bring up in another episode. But I'm going to continue to go through these cognitive distortions without examples. Instead, I invite you to think of your own thoughts as I go along. Then feel free to stop the podcast and write them down and try some of the exercises. Okay, so cognitive distortion number 5, personalization. When you engage in this, you tell yourself that you're the reason that a bad event that is outside of you occurred, and you hold yourself responsible. Sound familiar? Cognitive distortion number 6, mental filter. You pick out one negative detail and put all of your focus onto it so much that your entire outlook is just dark and gloomy. Very similar to disqualifying the positives. Cognitive distortion number 7, catastrophizing. When you engage in this, you are essentially hugely magnifying the importance of something, when in reality, it actually doesn't hold as much weight as you tell yourself. Or in contrast, you inappropriately minimize something that you really should be paying attention to. Cognitive distortion number 8, emotional reasoning. When you do this, you essentially just trust your emotions as facts. You say, well, I feel this way, so it must be reality. You take your bad feelings as proof, when of course feelings are malleable and based on perception. They're very much subjective. Cognitive distortion number 9, labeling and mislabeling. So when you do this, you're essentially giving a outlandish and ridiculous label or name to an event, to yourself or to a person. In a way, it's a shortcut. It's a shortcut to negative thinking, but it also is a disservice to anything that's given that label because it disqualifies any multidimensional aspects of it, including yourself, another person, or an event. Cognitive distortion number 10, overgeneralization. This one's quite simple. You see something that happened, one thing that happened, as a perpetual reoccurring pattern of failure that will continue to come up in your life. You are, as it says, overgeneralizing. And those, my friends, are the 10 cognitive distortions. If you apply these exercises and actually look at your thoughts on paper instead of letting them float around in your own brain, which I know is really easy to do. I mean, they're invisible and there's thousands of them that go through our heads every day. But if you do this, you'll be unstoppable and you will be powerful in the moment when you're experiencing unwanted thoughts or thoughts that aren't serving you. So everything that I mentioned is a combination of life coaching techniques and strategies within cognitive behavioral therapy and I encourage you to keep showing up for yourself. Thanks so much for joining today. Don't forget to subscribe, leave reviews, and let me know if this has helped you or if it can help anyone else in your life. My name is Victoria, and this is Your Extraordinary Existence.